Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ordway, Merlone, Fourier, back to OMF on EEI.
Hi, back here on OMF. Time for Alex Core, brought to you by KM. As long as there's KM this summer, Arbella Insurance, and by Zenni, the official eyewear of the Boston Red Sox, Major League style. At minor league prices, visit Zenni.com. So you ready there, guys?
Hello, hello, Alex. I hear him. He's watching a commercial. I see a commercial. Shopping online. He's doing some shopping.
What's going on?
What are you buying back there?
What are you looking at? There in the background?
Is this a home shopping network you're on right now?
I don't know. Maybe.
It's like QVC.
Wow. So how you doing? Everything good?
All good, man. All good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Monday you got an opportunity, the first day, to watch all of these other teams deal with the new security rules in going out and checking up on pitchers. Last night you got to experience it firsthand. I didn't see any of you guys actually drop their pants or anything like that. We saw that elsewhere around the league. So How is life in the new era of baseball?
From our end, it was good yesterday. There were no issues. Like I said before the game yesterday, I watched the first guy that was checked was DeGrom, right? And he's like way above everybody else on the mound right now, and he had no issues. So I do believe everybody should follow suit, right? Obviously, there were certain situations yesterday. I mean, the one in Texas, I don't agree with that one with Romo, but the one in Philadelphia, that was a little bit different. I'm still not sure when they actually checked Scherzer. I'm hearing it was first and third.
Yep.
I don't know how many outs. So that one, that's an interesting one. I just saw an interview by Kershaw saying that if we check on the pitcher, like in that situation, and nothing is found, then something has to happen to the manager. Either get thrown out or we lose a challenge.
Yeah,
something. Because it's and I do believe he's right. For the rhythm of the pitcher, the situation. I don't know if Joe was doing it because of that reason, just to break his rhythm. But it's an interesting one, to say the least.
You know, Alex, we were just talking about that with what Joe decided because he saw him go to his hair a lot. And I'm saying, you don't even need that anymore. And I'm guessing that you guys have somebody looking at a computer during a game like I will be tonight, Baseball Savant, right? And I can see if a guy's down a $1.90, $2.50, and then all of a sudden the third inning, he's back to average again. Like, that would be reason to sit there and say, I've got data. I've got info, like, you know what I mean? To say that, hey, in this fourth inning, something's different. Like, that would give you reason to go out there and maybe check him, correct?
Yeah. The one thing that I – just going through the game yesterday and watching Urias with the Dodgers, right, on Monday. He gives us four right away, and they check on him. Honestly, like, I don't know why you should check a guy that just gave up four, regardless if he had substance, right?
Yarbrough last
just
night.
Let him go. Let him be. Let him roll. You know, you give up four, let him go. And then he comes back the next inning. I doubt that a pitcher is going to cross the line. You know, somebody's going to get catch, obviously. You know, we still have half a season. But just check him in the next inning. Not when he gives up four. I mean, does it really matter? You know, like, his stuff was average and he got hit. Why check on him? So there has to be a fine line, you know, a balance. It can't be like every inning. I don't think that's what they wanted to do from the get-go. Obviously, they check on the relievers. It's a little bit weird when you bring the closer and they check on him right away, obviously in a walk-off situation. But it's a work in progress. But, you know, I think as far as, like, stuff, you can see that pitchability is going to come into play. It's going to be very important. Command, expanding the zone, setting up hitters is going to be important. It's not this, you know, we always talk about gorilla ball, right? In Omaha and in the College World Series back in the day when LSU was beating Miami and the shortstop was crying, you know, just hitting home runs, all that stuff. Well, the gorilla ball of throwing hard up in the zone, just let it rip. It doesn't matter where it's going. I think those times are over.
I don't know. It's like college baseball. What are we doing here?
College baseball.
I can't watch. No, yeah. No. I know what you're talking about. I was teasing you. Please. But I do think, Alex, it's interesting that, and I'll maybe, you know, you can, you know, fill me in a little bit, is these unintended consequences with, I think, the gamesmanship that is going to exist with managers who just, I don't think it's going to be beneath them to try and rattle somebody. So do you anticipate in Major League Baseball maybe kind of, you know, just taking the temperature of the room, seeing how things kind of start, and then introducing new rules, like adding new rules, like you're talking with the managers as far as being penalized?
Honestly, I don't know. You know, this is, I hate to say it, but it's a work in progress, right? I think, you know, we know what happened the last few years as far as, like, the stuff. And you saw it early in the season. And the rule has been there forever. It's just a matter of, like, you know, they push it and all of a sudden they start talking about other substances other than rosin and sunscreen. So there's constant communication. Today I talked to Mike Hill and Raul Ibanez about our game, how they handle it, how it go. And on a daily basis, you give feedback. And hopefully, like I said last week, in 10 or 14 days, the talk of baseball is going to be about, you know, the Red Sox playing good baseball, Franco, you know, being one of the best young players in the game, Vladdy. Hopefully that's the case.
All right, let's talk about the Red Sox playing good baseball. You've got a game and a half lead in the division. You've got a terrific divisional record. I know 2 weeks ago you talked about talking to the guys about how poorly they had played over the last couple of years at Yankee Stadium, and now you're 7-0 against the Rays and the Yankees with a lot of games this week against those two teams. Has that been part of this, focusing in on the teams within your division that you must beat if you're going to be a playoff team?
You have to do it. You have to do it, especially this year, when you have four teams that are pretty solid. Obviously, coming into the season, everybody thought it was going to be a three-team race. We did what we did, and now it's a four-team race. And you're going to be banging heads with everybody in this division. And we talk about it before opening day that we need to be better within the division and at Fenway. It didn't work out for 3 days. It was awful. But it's something that you have to take care of business. You have to do it. And the more series you win against the division, the better it is. And in 19, we were bad at home and against the Rays and against the Yankees. Last year, you guys know what happened. So we've done better. You know, we started off well. You know, I think that first series against the Rays, bouncing back from the Orioles was – it set the tone for where we at right now. We did a good job offensively. it felt like offensively we can handle these guys. You know, they're good. We know what they do. But we were able to put good at-bats. I think we had like 35 hits in 3 days, and it gave us confidence. And yesterday we felt the same way. You know, we fell behind, but it was just a matter of time of keep putting good at-bats, going the other way, being aggressive against them and do this. And this is something we talk about in spring training and in opening day.
Alex, you got a guy going tonight in Richards, and his last outing, you know, talked a lot after the game. He didn't throw one single curveball in that game. He said he didn't feel comfortable with it. So you got a week in between. Like, where's he at mentally? It seemed like he was kind of rattled after that game.
He's in a good place, to be honest with you. You know, worked on a few things in the bullpen. As you know, you just said it. You know, he didn't use the curveball. Something that we have done this year really, really good compared to last year. We added that pitch. He didn't throw it as much last year. Last year was that four-seamer cutter kind of thing that he has, the two-seamer and the slider. So expect him to use it today. There's a good lineup. I do believe he's been fastball-heavy in the inside part of the play against righties. He can actually use it up and away against them and get some swings and misses. So talking to him throughout the week, talking to Bushy about certain things that we did in the bullpen, he should be okay.
And I don't know if E-Rod just throws every Tuesday, because I feel like every time we talk to you, he had just thrown the night before. But I don't know. It's strange watching
him. He was good yesterday, right? He was good yesterday.
He was. And we talked last week in Atlanta, and I was saying like the pitch selection looked a little bit different, right? But last night, it's almost – there's always a combination of, you know, five infield singles, an error. You know what I mean? Like, there's always like bad luck, but then again, there's some things that he does on his own too. So it's like, where is he when you look at that performance last night with him?
I was pleased with him. That's why he went out in the sixth inning. He was throwing the ball well, hit by pitch. The pitch that put him in a bad spot, and this is a pitch he's been missing the whole season. You know, we talk about the cutter. He got it back. The change of his back, the four-seamer's back. He used to, like, later in the game, had that two-seamer comebacker, right, to righties to strike him out. He hasn't had that pitch, and he tried to do it with Diaz, and you saw the pitch. You ran away, stay on plane, and he went with the other way with it. That pitch put him in a bad spot. The breaking ball to Franco, you know, that breaking up ball didn't do too much. He stayed back. He said he was looking for it. I'm like, wow, dude, he's really that good, because, I mean, first time he's seen him, he didn't throw too many before. He put a good swing as a home run. But if he goes with a four-seamer up against Diaz, I do believe he gets a swing and miss or a pop-up. So that pitch put him in a bad spot. Besides that, his best fastball of the year, good changeup, good conviction the first four innings, not too much conviction in that inning, but then he finished strong in the sixth. So I'm good where he's at. I know the results are not there and people are going to say, well, you know, he needs to do better, but for him to go six against that lineup that they like to mix and match with you, and they go with swing path against your stuff, I thought that was probably his best start of the season.
All right, so you get an option for me on this one. Okay, you can either answer a question regarding Chris Sale or who's hitting leadoff.
Danny's hitting leadoff today.
Well, you already answered it. That was easy. Yeah. Well, so then give me Chris Sale then. Just the quick and easy Cliff Notes version of how's he doing.
He's doing good. He's actually facing hitters Saturday at Fenway. Schedule wise, it was supposed to be Friday, but you know, Friday we probably get in with the way we're playing against these guys. We probably get in at 5 a.m. and you know, everything gets pushed back. There's no batting practice, so he'll throw Saturday. I think it's 20 pitches to hitters, and I think that's, you know, we've been talking about the countdown and expectations and getting excited. I think after that, you know, he throws a live BP, and now you can, like, start seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, it's still far. You know, it's a big tunnel. It's way out there, but you're like, okay, this is going to happen. He threw yesterday. He felt good. The bullpen yesterday was kind of like getting ready for a start. He went to the bullpen, warm up, went to the dugout, was there for 5 minutes, went to the mound, finished his work. he's in a good place, man. And then, you know, mechanic wise, the reports were awesome. Good changeup, good slider, velocity. You know, he hit 94 again, so that's great. So, you know, I'm very excited for him and where we at as an organization. So Tanner is pitching today, right? He's pitching right now.
Yep. So many things have been going well for this team to this point. I'm wondering if you have any concern whatsoever about your defense. And I say that because the team makes errors, and they made two early in the game last night. But they don't seem to be killing you in the end. Eventually, that's got to catch up to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, we need to be better. We need to be better. The good thing now is that the third baseman, he makes an error, and it's not the end of the world. You know, he'll tell you what happened. A few years ago, he'll make an error, and he'll carry it the whole game. He'll strike out three times. He probably makes another error, and we'll carry it to the next day. And yesterday, he doesn't make that play right away. And he came up to me, and he's like, this is what happened. I'm like, good, okay, now just go hit a homer, you know, like relax. And he relaxes now. We didn't play particularly well the last day in Kansas City. You know, when – and Lou knows – well, you guys know. I do believe double plays are game changers at this level. And we've been doing a great job turning double plays throughout the season. We've been really good. And we had two opportunities to turn double plays, one with a comeback with Nate. He doesn't catch the ball clean. We get the out at first. And then Christian at second, who usually is sure-handed. You know, he doesn't catch the ball. We don't turn it into a play. That game, I really didn't like. But, you know, you got to make mistakes. And one thing for sure, everything that we did, pregame and spring training, using the machine, doing the drills, we're still doing it. We're doing it. The thing is that we're on a part of the schedule that, you know, we went to Atlanta. It was hot. We went to Kansas City. It was awful. This turf here is not, it's not great. And then, obviously, this weekend is going to be a long one as far as, like, the pace of play and getting home early in the morning the next day. So we got to take care of them. But I'm not worried. I'm not that worried with the defense.
You know, Alex, I know that Bobby had four punch-outs last night, but he's been hot, you know, the last week or 10 days. And I'm just curious, you know, bottom third of the order, even actually every hitter, have those guys been talking about noticing a difference? Because we were saying, you know, if the fastball doesn't have the spin rate and the curveball's under sharp, maybe you get more production out of some other guys because maybe the stuff isn't as good. Have you heard stuff from your own hitters?
Not yet. Obviously, you know, there's some guys that are making adjustments. Rick Schill, for example, he's not throwing that cutter that much. I mean, like three starts ago, he started throwing a changeup. So subtle changes like that tells you that pitchers are making adjustments. One thing they've done a better job is being on time. And in an era that we're talking about launch angle, and get on plane, and your back hip, and all this crazy terminology that they talk about swings. At the end, Lou, as you know, get on time, see the ball, recognize the pitch, and make your swing decision. Bobby, you know, he cut down his leg kick. He choked up, you know, his bat throughout the at-bat, and he's just making contact now. And whenever he makes contact, it's solid contact. Yesterday, that happens. You know, we know that. Actually, there was a pitch late in the game that it was a ball. He took it. It was called a strike. But I think he's in a good place. And Kike seems like hitting lower in the lineup. He's been able to work the counts and hit line drives. You know, what we've envisioned leading off, he's doing it down there. That's why he's not leading off. I'm like, you know what? He's in a good role. Let's keep him there. And they're doing a good job. I think from Hunter down, it's been a lot better than the first 2 months of the season.
Last one for me, Alex. You know, watching Wander Franco, you know, hit that home run after he gets pulled up, called up right away. Does it make you want to fast track Jared Duran at all?
No.
Sure.
Good question. Good try, brother. No, he's doing well. He's all doing right. Well. There's a few guys. There's a few guys down there that are doing well. Michael had a great game yesterday. Hit two homers. Frenchie's swinging the bat well. Duran, he had the walk-off the other day. There's still a few things that he needs to work, especially in a division that, as you guys know, they pitch up in the zone, you know, and we have to cover that pitch. And he's been on and off with that. But like I said yesterday, this kid is going to contribute. The future, like I said, it might be tomorrow or in a month or whatever, but he will contribute, and we're very pleased with the way he's playing.
Pretty good question, though, huh? About a big fella?
Multiple choice and everything. I hit every angle.
Continues to surprise you, does he not? AC, we'll talk to you next week. Good luck down there in Tampa.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good one. We have breaking news, fellas.
We do. Oh.
This is breaking news. Got a Woj bomb, and it's not a surprise. The Boston Celtics are finalizing an agreement to hire Brooklyn Nets assistant Ime Udoka as the franchise new coach, sources tell ESPN. Udoka separated himself quickly in Brad Stevens' search process, and this was something we talked about yesterday that we assumed, and maybe we were right about, including significant support from Celtics players who were impressed with Udoka after working with him with Team USA in the Worlds 2 years ago. So the players obviously had tremendous input.
He's got three of them.
And they get a guy that they wanted to be their coach, and that's where Brad Stevens went.
All right, you want to do this now? You want to wait till we come back?
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll break it down, analyze it. Good question again. Mm-hmm. When's the good question?
I hope all you green teamers, you sensey green teamers, are happy you got a coach now. Get to you people next, too.
We'll do that next right here in OMF.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.